Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Soft Currency Economics 2 is a nonfiction economics book by Warren Mosler that lays out the foundations of modern monetary theory for readers who want to understand how sovereign currency systems actually operate, rather than treating money as a scarce commodity. The book argues that a government issuing its own floating fiat currency is the source of that currency, and therefore is not financially constrained in the same way a household or business is. Mosler draws on his background in financial markets to explain government spending, taxation, debt issuance, inflation, and exchange rates in operational terms. The book is both a technical argument and a policy critique, challenging conventional ideas about deficits, borrowing, and the role of fiscal policy. It is aimed at readers interested in macroeconomics, public finance, and monetary institutions, especially those who want a non-standard but internally coherent alternative to mainstream economic thinking. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, money is a government monopoly, not a household budget. A central claim of the book is that a sovereign currency is created by the state and functions as a public monopoly. This means government spending does not begin with tax revenue in the way household spending begins with earned income. Instead, the state issues the currency first and then accepts it back through taxes and other payments. Mosler uses this framework to invert the usual intuition about public finance taxes do not fund spending in a mechanical sense, but help create demand for the currency and support the currency system. That shift matters because it changes how readers interpret deficits, borrowing, and the so-called affordability of public programs. The book is especially focused on showing that monetary institutions determine what is possible in a fiat system, and that many policy debates are distorted by treating government finance as if it were a private balance sheet. By explaining money as a public monopoly, Mosler provides the conceptual base for the rest of the MMT argument. Secondly, why floating exchange rates change the meaning of fiscal constraints. The book emphasizes the difference between soft currency regimes and fixed exchange rate systems. In Mosler's framework, a soft currency is one that floats in foreign exchange markets, which gives the issuing government much more monetary flexibility than a country tied to gold, another currency, or a hard peg. Under a floating rate, the state is not promising convertibility into another asset at a fixed price, so it is not exposed to the same kind of reserve constraint that can force default in a fixed regime. This distinction is crucial because it explains why a sovereign issuer can always make payments in its own currency even when it faces political limits or inflationary pressure. The book uses this point to argue that many fears about insolvency are misplaced when applied to governments that control their own floating currency. At the same time, the framework does not claim unlimited spending power. It instead shifts attention from financial solvency to real resource limits, inflation risk, and exchange rate effects. That makes the exchange rate regime a foundational issue rather than a technical detail. Thirdly, deficits, debt issuance, and the operational logic of government spending. Soft currency economics 2 treats deficits and government debt as accounting outcomes of a monetary system rather than signs of weakness. In Mosler's account, when the government spends more than it taxes back, it adds financial assets to the private sector. Debt issuance is then understood as a policy tool for managing reserves and interest rates, not as a way to obtain the currency it needs before spending. This is one of the book's most important operational arguments because it challenges the standard view that bond sales finance public spending in the same way that a loan finances a household purchase. Mosler's explanation aims to show that the sequence in modern monetary operations runs from spending to reserve creation to optional debt management. That sequence is meant to clarify why a sovereign government cannot run out of its own liabilities in the way a private borrower can. The deeper implication is that public debt should be evaluated in terms of macroeconomic effects, market operations, and policy goals, rather than through simple analogies to private debt. The book therefore reframes debt as part of monetary administration. Fourthly, inflation is the real constraint, not an arbitrary deficit limit. A recurring theme in the book is that the decisive limit on government spending is inflation, not solvency. Mosler argues that when an economy has unused labor, idle capacity, and other slack resources, government can spend more without necessarily creating inflation because that spending mobilizes resources that are otherwise underutilized. Problems arise when total nominal demand pushes against real productive capacity. In that setting, the relevant question is not whether the state can afford to spend, but whether additional spending would compete for scarce goods, labor, or services. This leads to a very different policy logic from mainstream austerity thinking. Taxes, in this view, are not primarily a funding device, but a tool that can help regulate aggregate demand and create room for non-inflationary public spending. The book therefore presents fiscal policy as the main instrument for maintaining full employment and price stability, while rejecting the idea that a fixed deficit target is inherently prudent. This makes inflation analysis central to the MMT framework rather than secondary to it. Lastly, from theory to policy, full employment, public purpose, and the role of the state, the practical aim of the book is not just to redefine money, but to change how policy is designed. Mosler's framework implies that governments should use their monetary capacity to pursue public purpose, especially employment and price stability, instead of treating budgets as if they must always be balanced. The book is closely associated with ideas such as functional finance and the belief that policy should be judged by results in the real economy rather than by arbitrary financial. That makes it relevant to debates over infrastructure, social programs, healthcare, and automatic stabilizers. The logic also supports the idea that fiscal policy should take priority when private demand is insufficient, because the state can fill spending gaps without needing to wait for tax receipts or private borrowing. At the same time, the book is not a blanket defense of all spending. It insists that policy must respect real resource limits and be calibrated to avoid inflation. This combination of monetary sovereignty, employment policy, and resource awareness is what gives the book its distinctive policy orientation. In conclusion, Soft Currency Economics 2 is best suited for readers who want a serious introduction to modern monetary theory from one of its key originators: economists. Policy analysts, students of public finance, and informed general readers will get the most from it, especially if they are willing to engage with a framework that directly challenges conventional ideas about deficits, taxation, and government borrowing. Its main value is explanatory. It tries to show how a sovereign fiat currency system works in operational terms, not just in abstract theory. That makes it useful for readers who want to understand why MMT treats inflation and real resources as the true constraints on public spending. Compared with many books on macroeconomics, this one stands out because it is built around monetary operations and institutional mechanics rather than broad ideology. It is also distinctive in that it reflects Mosler's background in finance, giving the argument a practical, market-based tone. For readers seeking a concise but foundational statement of the MMT perspective, it is one of the key texts in the genre. If you would like to support Warren Mosler, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.